A couple of quick headlines for you, then we'll jump into analysis with Dr. Henry Nyman. Trump urges federal regulators to approve emergency authorizations for Regeneron, and apparently Eli Lilly has maybe they're talking about remdesivir, I don't know. Anyway, another antibody treatment. So there's a fast track being requested for those. All right, Governor Newsom in California has ordered Californians to wear their masks in between bites of food while dining with members from the same household anywhere in public. Go out with your family to a restaurant, wear your mask, lift it up, shove food in your mouth, put the mask back on. This is incredible. UK airports, as you know, are going to begin testing coronavirus vax passports. They're using an app to test that out. CDC says coronavirus can spread indoors in a new updated guidance policy. Bill Gates says the U.S. needs to brainstorm ways to reduce vaccine hesitancy, said Billy Boy. Redfield, the director of the CDC, is being urged to leave in a blaze of glory or forever be considered Trump's toady. There's much more. Anyhow, welcome back, Hour 3, and welcome back to you, Henry.
Well, it's good to be back, Jeff. And
thank you.
There has been quite a bit of activity in the last couple of days, including the debate tonight, which did lead off with the pandemic, and there was, there was a breaking of any new ground there. They were kind of going over some of the arguments that have been made in the past. It might be worth going through those a little bit.
It says that Biden and Harris have split on the vaccine. What was that about?
I don't know about Biden splitting.
That's what U.S. News and World Report said here. Let me read it to you.
Basically,
go ahead.
Okay.
You want me to read it real quick? Harris painted the Trump administration as not having a plan for the pandemic, while Pence accused Harris of sowing doubt over a potential coronavirus vaccine. So how did it look to you?
Okay. Well, you said that Biden and Harris split. So they're talking about Pence and Harris splitting.
No, Biden and Harris.
I understand that.
Plus, it's a hell of a big headline problem. I got it to mean that she and Joe Biden had different views on the vaccine.
Right. That's what I thought you were going to read. So I'm still not sure what that's referring to. I mean, Biden wasn't there. And Harris basically was asked whether she would take the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And she said that, you know, if it had been approved by the FDA and scientific community, she'd take it in a heartbeat. But if it was, mm-hmm. you know, just approved by Trump, she wouldn't. So I don't know what Biden's position is and whether that's a split or not. I would think they have the same position. It might be the way they're interpreting it. That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure what that headline's referring to because Biden wasn't there. So
it's suggesting that Biden and Harris are not on the same page. That's clearly what it suggests. I don't see anything in the text.
No, I understand
really
that. That's what
that.
I'm saying. Yeah. I'm not sure what Biden's position is. It sounded like Harris's position on the vaccine was not that unusual. I mean, a lot of people, scientists, I should say, anyway, are concerned that there'll be a push to try to get the vaccine available before the election.
Well, that's very pragmatic.
But on the science side, there's a lot of resistance to that. They're essentially saying that, you know, none of the pharmaceuticals are saying that that's a likely scenario. In fact, most of them are saying the opposite. And the FDA just came out in the last couple of days and said that they really need to look a little bit harder at the vaccines before they give the approval. That may be related to the problems that AstraZeneca had, where they halted. I don't know whether it's resumed yet in the U.S. I think it might not. And that really has to do with the side effects. They've had the same side effect twice. And, you know, the pharmaceutical company tried to say the first time it was due to MS, undiagnosed MS. The second time they said they didn't know what it was due to. The symptoms were the same in both. And so there's concern that, kind of like if that happens to a third patient, that approval of that drug is going to be very, very problematic. And it's not at all clear that it's the vaccine itself that specific for that. It may be the using the spike protein that would affect most of the vaccine, and so it could be problematic for.
Well, you're right about the AstraZeneca hold. It says here's the latest: as AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine trial remains on hold in the U.S., participants waiting for their second dose are all in limbo.
Right, and that's what the problem is with that. The trial is to have two doses of the drug, which is a logistical nightmare because you basically have to wait 21 to 28 days before you get the second dose, and some of these drugs require refrigeration at minus 70, and so you have to have twice as much of it available. It's got to kind of be there for when people come back so that they get a proper stick schedule. They're probably more vulnerable if they've got one shot and it calls for two, and so they're only partially immunized, that could cause issues. And so the FDA is being cautious, and Trump is saying they're being political. I mean, he sees everything as being political. So he's essentially saying, oh, they're just doing this because they don't want to approve before the election, because they don't want him to win the election.
Way they can produce a vaccine and have it ready before the damned election.
Right.
He knows. He's not
right.
That stupid.
Right. Well, he thinks that they can. He's looking for them to say, oh, they're going to, it is, you know, approved, and then he would, you know, basically tout the record, you know, time of approval, and then use that kind of to get people to vote for him. I kind of brought it up, but that's really what his argument is. And that's what Kamala Harris's argument is that, you know, the drug is approved just for political purposes and it really isn't ready. And the FDA said, let's wait. And Trump says, it looks good to me, and overrides them that she didn't think it would be safe to take the vaccine, and most scientists would agree with her. I mean, that's what the FDA is for. Those are the specialists, and those are the ones that are supposed to be making the decision. I just got back from Philadelphia. I've been on the road all day, so I'm lagging a little bit behind some of the news. But I thought I would, since we're kind of discussing the election and you know, releasing the vaccine early to help the election along, I've got a quick boots on the ground report. And the boots on the ground report is that you can stick a fork in Pennsylvania. It is done. there is no doubt that Trump is not going to win Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is long, long gone. And my evidence for that is I've got relatives in suburban Philadelphia. And at least one set was actually there 4 years ago. And I went to visit them at about this time of the year. You know, it was about a month before the election. And there was talk about, you know, Trump's losing the suburban vote and it's going to cause problems for him, da 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 da. And they're in suburban Philadelphia, and I kind of looked around, and A, there weren't a whole lot of yard signs. The number of signs that were up was very, very slim. Okay?
For either or both?
And B, I'm getting to B, uh-huh. In the immediate neighborhood, I could only count 10 signs, and 8 of the 10 were for Trump. And so I was looking suburban Philadelphia, 80%. Now, it's a small sample size, but there weren't a whole lot of signs. And for it to be 80% for Trump, that didn't look to me like, you know, like Hillary was getting the suburban Philadelphia vote. And, you know, as you may know or not, I mean, Pennsylvania is a big state, and most of the Democratic vote is really in either Philadelphia or Pittsburgh. I mean, those are the two largest cities, and they account for most of the Democrat vote. And in between, it's been called Alabama. It's rural and it's pretty red.
That's pretty
and
funny.
And you know, for the Democrats to win Pennsylvania, which in the past hasn't really been that hard, they really have to turn out the votes in Pittsburgh and in Philadelphia and surrounding suburbs. And the issue was Philadelphia is bigger than Pittsburgh, and the talk was that Trump was losing the suburban vote in Philadelphia, and the signs didn't really reflect that. And so I thought that, well, maybe things weren't going to be as Democratic as they normally are or recently have been for Pennsylvania. The registered Democrats outnumber Republicans by a significant margin, although the registered Democrats don't necessarily vote Democratic. And so that, and I saw kind of the same thing in Pittsburgh, that not necessarily for the city or the close-in suburbs, but the more distant suburbs, there were a lot of Trump signs there also. So signage-wise, Trump looks strong, you know, in the outer suburban Pittsburgh, and the suburban Pittsburgh, I was looking at Philadelphia, isn't even that far out. I mean, it's you know, fairly close. So that's what things were like 4 years ago, and things today are, you know, it actually, I saw the start of it when I was back in Philadelphia over the Labor Day weekend. Uh-huh. And kind of right in the middle of the weekend, like on Sunday, all of a sudden Biden signs started popping up all over the place. And it was, I thought, well, you know, there's a lot of Biden signs here, but it's kind of Labor Day weekend kind of kicks off kind of the political season, and maybe, you know, Trump's going to catch up here, and you know, next week there'll be a lot more even. And so I went there this weekend, and it did not get even. That I kind of did the survey over the same neighborhood I was at 4 years ago, and then another suburban neighborhood that was about 3 or 4 miles away, and I don't have any data on how that one looked 4 years ago, but I assume it probably looks somewhat similar. And today, or this weekend, there are a lot more psi. There are, in the area where I saw the 10 psi, there had to be at least 50 and maybe even 100. So instead of 10, there were 5 to 10 times as many signs. And this year, they are 80 to 90% Biden. I mean, there really weren't that many Trump signs. There were just, you know, Biden, Biden, Biden. And it was really the same thing in both neighborhoods. So suburban Philadelphia is overwhelmingly Biden, and very high enthusiasm, at least, you know, based upon how many yards actually have signs up and what signs they do have up. And it is the same thing here in the Pittsburgh area, that the number of signs is much higher than they were 4 years ago. And
are these signs? Let me ask you a question here. Are these signs, the Biden signs, are they anti-Trump, or are they more? Are they really pro-Biden? Are they just? Are they protest? Are they angry at Trump? You see what I'm saying? Does Biden really have support?
Like I said before, this is really a binary situation. So, you know, if you're anti-Trump, you know, you can stay home and let him win, or you can vote for Biden. I mean, there were some what I would call anti-Trump signs. So there were signs that would basically have Trump's hair with the word nope above it. So it's nope plus his hair. And then there were other ones that says any human, and that was for Biden, and they didn't put Trump in the human category. So that was pretty witty stuff, Henry.
Pretty clever.
And then the third one was stop the infection. And instead of having STD, it had DJT.
How low are we going to go? This is really... I'm not pro or anti. I'm just talking about sense of politics. Well, it's pretty grim.
Well, I'm just telling you, those were the anti-Trump ones. But the vast majority of them were, you know, just Biden-Harris. I mean, they were run-of-the-mill. Mm-hmm. Political signs, but they were extremely widespread, and the number of signs alone, it would indicate that people are going to vote, and apparently the mail has been adjusted. That there were several court orders to kind of restore mail service to where it was at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And reports are that that has pretty much happened. And so it seems for those that don't want to stand in line or go to the polls, especially a month from now, because of the pandemic, that they can drop their mail-in ballot in the mailbox, and in general, it'll get there. You know, when it's, I mean, it usually goes to the local precinct, and so generally, it only takes a day for mail to go from one place to the other when it's kind of in a, you know, 10-mile radius or something, and so. And there have been adjustments, and I mean, I know more about Pennsylvania, but in Pennsylvania, they've adjusted the mail that if it's postmarked by the by the 3rd, that it'll get counted as long as it gets there within, I think they give it 5 days to get there. And
right.
You know, if it's normal mail delivery, if it's postmarked on the 3rd, it'll arrive, you know, way before 5 days. Because, like I say, you generally don't mail it to some central location. You mail it to your local precinct, which is it's usually within a few miles of wherever you live if you're in that voting district. So so I think that the mail will get delivered. It will arrive on time or you know within the cutoffs, you know, the deadlines for receipt. And a lot of states, I think, have added that modification that, you know, you don't have any control over. If you drop it in the mailbox and it gets to the post office, you know, when it's supposed to, that the post office takes 4 or 5 days to deliver it, you shouldn't get penalized and have your vote not count. And so I think I think 5 million people have already voted actually throughout the country. So people are voting by mail. Most of those are mail in. They're not early voting, but some of them are. But I think the enthusiasm is there. It's very, very high based upon how many ballots have been requested or how many have been received. So
very good. Let's talk about Trump's. Thank you, Henry. Let's talk about Trump's health and the treatments he got, which we did mention certainly on Monday. You did a fine job on that. They're trying to claim now that he's manic because of the steroids and the dexamethasone or whatever it is, and then you got the Regeneron and Remdesivir. And did that happen to work with him for some reason? Did that knock this virus down, do you think, those two drugs together?
Well, I mean, that's what I was going to discuss. The problem is that there's not a whole lot of transparency coming out of the White House. The doctors, you know, I mean, the stuff they put out, you can't even call it, you know, a doctor's report is kind of a propaganda report. They say, well, Trump said he felt good. That's the report. I mean, the doctors are the ones who are supposed to, you know, evaluating the patient. The patient's not supposed to be doing self-evaluation so that you
well,
can.
Well, they're hiding
know,
behind the HIPAA
off.
Thing. We know. No,
it's way beyond HIPAA. It's way, way, way beyond HIPAA.
All right.
The HIPAA is nonsense. Okay, the HIPAA, you can do it if the patient says no, I don't want this release. You can say I can't release it because of HIPAA. But president's kind of in a somewhat different position because it's a public figure and that this could actually have to do with defense of the country. I mean, the Joint Chiefs staff are basically either infected or under quarantine. The number of people that have been infected now, confirmed, that are linked to the White House is up to 35 now, and that's probably a gross underestimate. And
I had 34. It's 35. It may be 55 or 60. We just don't know.
Right. There's 35 that are named, okay, or at least described. Yeah. So there's 35 that are known, and they do raise the distinct possibility that many or most of these are actually due to Trump himself, and that is probably why they are so withholding. They don't want to do any contact tracing. They don't want the CDC coming in there and trying to figure out exactly what happened and why are 35 people infected. They don't want to do contact tracing so they can notify those that are at risk because there are 35 positives, and without the contact tracing, you don't really know who all the contacts of those 35 people are. And, you know, that's what the CDC is good at, and that's what the White House doesn't want them coming in for. And then as far as how well Trump is doing. Like I say, the doctor's reports are just nonsense. I mean, they ask him questions, something as simple as, when did Trump last test negative? Mm-hmm. And, we don't want to go backwards in time. They didn't use HIPAA. They said they didn't feel like giving out that information, you know, because it's backwards in time. And, you know, that's important for contact tracing to try to figure out when Trump was really infected and who he might have infected. And that's what they don't want to talk about. And there was the issue I mentioned on Monday about the timing and trying to say that you know, a day doesn't have 24 hours. So when they say it was 72 hours ago, you know, that doesn't mean it was 3 days ago. It means something else. You know, that they were just calling it that. It was sometime during the day. It wasn't really 72 hours ago. It was, you know, 48 hours ago. And because the problem is the way they described it is that when he was first positive and when they started the various treatments would indicate that he knew he was positive. It wasn't that he knew Hope Hicks was positive. It was he knew he was positive before he went to the to the golf course for the fundraisers in New Jersey. And it probably meant that he knew he was positive before he went to the debate. And
I wouldn't be surprised if he suspected.
It was more than that. I mean, he didn't get tested. I mean, the rules were that when you show up there for the debate, Cleveland Clinic is going to run a test on you to make sure you're negative. And Trump and I think his whole entourage arrived late and they didn't have time to test them. And so none of them were tested by the Cleveland Clinic. And it seems, you know, plausible that they were deliberately late, because they knew that if they got tested by the Cleveland Clinic, there's that, hold it. You can't go into debate. You're positive for COVID. And he very well may have known that he was positive for COVID. And therefore, if he got tested when he showed up for the debate, there would be no debate. And the headline would be, debate postponed, President Trump positive. And he didn't want that to come out when it came out. He wanted to come out after he did his rally in Minnesota and after he did his fundraising in New Jersey. Then after he got those out of the way, that's when he was positive. That's when he said he was positive. And there were other reports that he didn't want Hope Hicks to tell anybody that she was positive. And there seemed to have been a lot of effort going into control, you know, giving any details on when they knew they were positive, and it's still unknown. I mean, they still have not said when he took the last negative. And New York Times had an article and said that he was no longer being tested on a daily basis. And so, you know, this whole argument that they didn't need to wear a mask because he's tested every day and he's, you know, he's negative and there's nothing to worry about. New York Times says that they stopped doing those daily tests. You know, they do tests, but they don't do it on a daily basis. And so, I mean, if you take a look, most of the people that were that did the debate prep, where they were, you know, practicing for the debate questions, most of those people have been positive. I mean, the latest one, Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller is positive. He was in the debate prep.
His Henry, positive. His excuse me, his wife, Katie, right? Katie was it?
Right, Right.
She has not recovered well. If I've read this right, she's really had a tough time.
Well, I think she's pregnant, and so I think that that is
underlying condition.
Part of the reason she's being careful, and then she's complaining about the plexiglass for the vice president debate, and it's kind of like, you know, you guys have some major issues with protecting against the virus, and it didn't really serve you very well, and that's why you got 35 people positive. And sure. apparently they still aren't wearing masks. A lot of people are not working from home, but the ones that come in are still not wearing masks. And you know, they were seen going to the cafeteria, and they're just kind of pretending nothing's going on. And this is now, since after 35 are known positive, and there's probably a whole lot more that are positive. And so that's still a major issue. And so the doctor's report doesn't really give a whole lot of detail. And then Trump put out a 5-minute video. And I don't know if you've seen the 5-minute video, but it was...
No. When did it come out? Today?
Was, yeah. Okay. I mean, it is bizarre. I mean, he is saying that, you know, he got infected and maybe this was God doing it because he kind of recovered and it was really maybe a good thing that he got infected. And then I got these great drugs, and he took Regeneron, and Regeneron basically made him, you know, essentially cured him, and that he wants to make Regeneron, and Regeneron's not the name of the drug. That's what he called it. I mean, it's actually called RegCov is what they named the drug, but he calls the drug. The company, he calls it Regeneron, right. and that essentially cured him, and that should be made available for everyone.
Well, that's what
I started off the program with.
He's requested that,
right?
Yes.
Right. But just to clarify, Lilly is not remdesivir. Lilly is a competing monoclonal antibody cocktail.
Another Regeneron.
So, right. You call them Regeneron. And that statement that they put out initially, calling it a polyclonal, is just wrong. And science came out and said that was nonsense. Also,
that was corrected. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
They don't understand the terminology. I mean, polyclonal antibodies usually is like. Convalescent serum, where that has a bunch of different types of antibodies, and they're not monoclonal. Uh-huh. And this one is the REGEN-CoV is simply two. I mean, it's not even if you're gonna not call it monoclonal, you call it biclonal or something, but it's not polyclonal. Polyclonal means many.
Okay. Would you give me a sketch of let's not get too deep into it, but just give me a sketch of Trump's sickness, and we both agree that he may have been infected as early as a debate. We'll just start there.
Right.
Take it from there. How did he progress? He did apparently have symptoms at the White House. He was given supplemental oxygen for an hour or so, they say. And then he had to be medevaced or air-evaced to Walter Reed. So tell us how does this profile to you?
Well, I mean, the profile is kind of what I said on Monday, that nobody in the world has been given all three of these drugs. So he's got the monoclonal antibodies, the two monoclonal antibodies. He's got remdesivir, and he's got dexamethasone. And
he had Regeneron and the Eli Lilly monoclonals. He had both of those.
No, you're confusing it. No.
Straighten me out.
I'm sorry. Just to clarify, Regeneron is two monoclonals. So he got Regeneron, which has two different monoclonals.
Okay.
One was made from immunizing a mouse with the spike protein, and the other one was made from a patient that had been infected with SARS-CoV-2, and they got the antibody from that patient. So they had two different sources of the monoclonal. One, they actually immunized an experimental animal and selected a neutralizing antibody, and the other one, they went into a patient that had recovered, and they made a library out of his antibodies and picked one that neutralized. Mm-hmm. So the Regeneron drug, what Trump got was two monoclonals, but they're both made by Regeneron, and they're both in that one mixture of 8 grams. I mean, I kind of mentioned this before. It's a boatload of antibody. And so that was one question mark. The clinical trial for the Regeneron antibody was done at two different doses. One was like 2.6 grams, and the other was at 8 grams. And in the clinical trial, the results for the two different doses were similar. However, even though it seemed that the lower dose was just as effective as the higher dose for treating Trump, they chose the higher dose. So that's an indication that they thought he was in pretty bad shape, because they wouldn't even take the lower dose. They would take the higher one. And with all these drugs, you know, the higher the dose, the more likely there is going to be some type of side effect. So that generally, if you thought the lower dose was going to be just as effective, you'd just use that. The fact they used the higher dose kind of suggests that they thought he was in need of as much as they could possibly give him. And then in addition to getting the monoclonal antibody, he got the remdesivir. And remdesivir is also something that is usually done in advanced cases, in cases that are having breathing difficulties. Because again, this is a nucleotide analog. So this is something that looks like the letters that you normally incorporate into your DNA. That when your cell has to make a copy, they use 4 letters, and this gets substituted for one of the letters, but it doesn't just go in and take that position and behave like the one it looks like. It actually stops the replication. It terminates the replication. And so that's detrimental to a virus, but it would be detrimental to your cells. So there'd be a certain amount of potential toxicity, although the idea is that the molecule is designed to be selective more by the polymerase that the virus has as opposed to the polymerase that you have. So it'd be preferentially incorporated in the virus, and the virus is looking to do a lot of rapid growth and rapid copying. So it would suck up more of that drug and be more likely to be affected by it. But you usually give that in the later stage. And then it's the same thing with the dexamethasone. The dexamethasone is actually, again, a high dose. It's 6 milligrams. And that is a lot higher than what you get for other, you know, more benign treatments.
Right. Well, he's a big man. He's, what, 250, 260?
It had nothing to do with his weight. It had to be
little humor, protocol. Little humor.
Right. And that was, I think your estimate was on the low side. But anyway, he gets high dose of a steroid that essentially dexamethasone is a steroid. And, mm-hmm. And that has side effects also. In fact, in older people, it's got enough side effects that it would raise the issue of the 25th Amendment. you know, it's not clear that that somebody who had these other two drugs plus dexamethasone would actually be thinking very clearly. And some people raised that issue when Trump said that he was a, you know, that there's going to be no more discussion of COVID bailout.
I would say, as a journalist, I would present the other side. And the other side is, Henry, Joseph Biden and his long video record of, let's say, politely losing his train of thought, and the fact that there are rumors that he refused drug tests because he may be being treated with meth to help his brain function, which has been done since the 1950s. He will not have a drug test, nor will he open his coat to see if the wires are hanging there, which we have video of. So we got both sides here. Let's just keep it balanced.
Well, the balance part is that nobody's denying that Trump has got dexamethasone as well as remdesivir as well. And he did make this declaration as far as the funding was concerned. And he says he gave the order to stop all negotiations. So he just to take a step back to see why this kind of falls into the category is he did what? Is that basically this has given $1 or 2 trillion to the general population. And most politicians, if they got the opportunity of handing out $1 to 2 trillion a month before the election, they would say, sounds like a good idea to me. And instead of negotiating for that, and that's what the debate is. The debate is between whether they're going to give out $1 or 2 trillion, both with a T. He doesn't want to do either. He wants to halt negotiations. And not only halt negotiations, but take the credit or slash blame for that and said, this is my idea. I'm not going to let you have the money. Don't blame anybody else. I said no. No negotiations until the election's over. So both of those are kind of bizarre. It's bizarre to basically say, here's $1 or 2 trillion. We're going to give it out to the population. They're going to be really happy to get the money. It's no. Don't give them anything. Give them zero. These deadlines are passing as far as, you know, not getting evicted because they didn't pay rent and not getting the utilities turned off because they didn't pay their utility bills. They're facing all of these calamities, and you've got a bailout here to hold them over, and you're saying, no, you're not going to get the bailout, and I'm the one that's going to withhold the money from you. So that's not necessarily a good idea for a politician to make when it's a month before the election and
we don't want to get too far afield from our medical bedrock here. What do you expect to see
Here's what the issue is with the health. That he got all three of these drugs, which said that his health was not very good. His physician basically wouldn't give you any details on exactly how bad it really is. He's still kind of behaving a little bit erratically in that, A, he had to leave the hospital and go to the White House. And B, today, he not only is at the White House, but he had to go to the Oval Office. So he's just spreading the virus all over the White House. He's exposing the personnel that have to be there to more virus. the personnel he's exposing are already in short supply because a lot of them have already been infected, and others are quarantined because they're contacts of people that have been infected. So this is how he's behaving on the dexamethasone. And then the video he did today, this drives scientists crazy, okay? Because A, he got three drugs. B, everybody knows that if he's got all that dexamethasone, that's going to make him feel good. And he's going to think he's in great shape because he's on...
Just like methamphetamine, if in fact that's being administered. Yeah. If.
But it's not methamphetamine. It's a steroid.
No, I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about Biden. Biden.
Please, hold it. We're talking about Trump. We're talking about what he's doing. We're talking about his health. You're talking about rumors about Biden. And you can tell anybody the rumors. I'm not going to talk about rumors. I'm going to talk about what the president has, what drugs he took, how sick he is, and what his current status is.
I'd love to see those rumors put down with a simple drug test. He won't do it, so we're suspicious.
Yeah, you'd like a lot of things. You'd like a lot. Come on.
Name one other thing I'd like. What else would I... Wait. What else would I like?
Well, you brought that up several times. So the point is, Trump is the one that's on COVID. That's what we're supposed to be talking about. Okay.
Correct.
Not so struck about rumors as to, you know, what.
Is he going to be ready for the debate a week from tomorrow? Can he be ready?
No.
Okay. There we're getting somewhere. Why not?
Because he is still infected. There is
how long
no
will
data
the active
coming
infection,
out.
What's our general term of active infection period for people? What is it? A month? 2 weeks? How long? I forget.
You have long
haulers
that are infected for several months.
Katie Miller. Okay.
Several long haulers. They call them long haulers because the virus doesn't go away.
So what are they going to do? Cancel the debate? Or just put up a big plexi screen or have two different locations? Do you think they're going to try and resolve this?
The best they could do would have a virtual debate.
Right, you know, that's what I just said.
You know, I haven't heard them talking about a virtual debate. Mm-hmm. A. B, exactly how long he's going to be on these drugs like dexamethasone. It's a high-dose steroid. What typically happens, especially on an older population, that if you give them high-dose steroids, you gradually take them off the steroids.
You got to wean them slowly. I know. Same with dogs. Same with cats.
So the treatment course can be over an extended period. How long they're going to keep giving him the steroid probably depends upon what kind of response he has.
Right.
And that's the reason they give the steroid. So just to clarify, the steroids knock out your immune system. Most of the time, if you got an active infection, the way you treat the infection is not to knock out the host immune system or suppress the host immune system, because that's what's used to combat the infection. Now, the reason they give the dexamethasone is because they're afraid of a cytokine storm.
And so the
dexamethasone is typically given very late. Instead, they gave it to him very early. So that's another reason.
Smart or desperate? Or was it actually late in the infection?
Right. So they haven't said when he was really first infected.
Correct.
So they may be doing all of this late stuff
That's
because
right.
it's really it, a lot it's, later
it's
than
later
is
than you think.
Publicly stated, right?
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
that he was not just infected for the debate. He would have been infected for the Rose Garden. I mean, and he could have been infected several days, if not a week before that. So, I mean, he could be into this 2 weeks since he got infected. And they're really, you know, looking at it like he just recently got infected when he was positive on a test.
Right.
Right.
A lot of the 34 people were infected some time ago, too. Not all. A lot. Around the same time, it would seem.
Right. Well, the guys that were involved with the debate prep, obviously they would have done that before the debate.
Sure.
And you've got several people in that category that are now testing positive. So the problem is, it's not clear how sick he is because the doctor won't give any real information. If he doesn't have a fever, doesn't mean anything because the dexamethasone will suppress the fever. The fact that he feels good doesn't mean anything because the dexamethasone will make him feel better. So exactly how he's doing is unclear. Some of the things he's done are
okay,
concerning.
Okay, you just summed it all up perfectly. We don't know how he's really doing, and that's what I've been trying to get at, your best guesstimate, and that's all we can do. We can just guess. We don't
know. Well, the guesstimate stems from what I said a couple of days ago. The fact that he's been given three different drugs, the fact that these drugs are usually given late, the fact that these drugs are, the Regeneron one is compassionate use, which is usually a last resort type thing.
Kind of like
all
last
say
rites.
That he was, sometimes they work. Compassionate
right.
is not because it doesn't compassionately kill you, it compassionately cures you.
I understand.
Or at least improves your condition. Yeah. So we don't know. We'll see. We might know more on Friday because, you know, they're going to have to make some decisions. Is he really getting better, and can he kind of go out and about?
Oh, yeah.
Or is he,
no, you just nailed it. You got it. We will. They're going to have to make some decisions. Yes.
Or is he medevaced back to the hospital because he's
crashing? That could happen. It could happen.
If it does, it'll probably happen in the next several days is the most likely timing for that. So I don't see an in-person debate, you know, especially in a week or so. We'll see.
Thank you. All right, we've got to run. We're pushing it.
Okay.
Thank you, Henry. Talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Good
okay.
work.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, we'll be right back with you tomorrow night. Talk to you then. Take care.